Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Leading with Jeff. Today's weather is very nice. The morning, it seemed like it was going to rain, but right now it's a little sunny. It's gotten very, very cold lately, so I hope everyone gets their jacket out and get a little cozy. The semester has finally begun. It began yesterday, Monday. I hope that everyone had a great, relaxing, satisfying winter break. I definitely did, although I could have used maybe a couple more days, but that's totally fine. The first day of classes were yesterday for most of us. I hope they went well. The first week, or the first couple of weeks, is always very hectic with your courses, your schedule, and I really do hope that everyone can get everything in order before the semester proceeds. Happy New Year, everyone. I don't think I've ever said that in my show. This is actually the second episode, I believe, that I will be doing in 2024. And once more, Happy New Year, everyone. I hope that everyone had a satisfying 2023 and a very good 2024. 2024 is going to be very exciting, or I hope that it's going to be exciting for most of you guys. 2023, for me at least, as I mentioned in my previous episodes, have flown by quite quick. And I think this year, I guess I can kind of catch on most of the details that I will be experiencing and not just have it flow right by my eyes. Today's episode, I will be talking about my winter break, another story time that I will be doing this episode. The first story time that I did, I believe, was my Toronto trip, which was very, very nice. And this episode, I will be explaining what I did this winter break. So I guess I could say it went very well. There were some things that I was planning on doing, you know, some goals that I set, but unfortunately I wasn't able to achieve all those because I was busy with some other stuff. So I will be explaining my schedule, my routine that I followed during winter break, during the couple weeks, and then I will be introducing you guys to two songs that I've been listening to on repeat during my commute to UBC. And I really want to bring back the fun facts. I think fun facts are interesting to hear. It gives you a very small amount of happiness in terms of learning, you know, some interesting facts that are in the world. And I do believe that you can never have enough fun facts. So we will end off this episode with some fun facts and end off right there. So before we continue on this episode, I also want to say happy birthday to my grandmother. She came to visit Canada a couple weeks ago. It has been a blast. Sadly, though, they will be leaving. My grandparents are both leaving this week. But happy birthday. I hope you have a wonderful birthday. I will see you tonight with a delicious cake. And hopefully, I will create a very beautiful card to give you by tonight. All right, let's get into this episode. Let's get through some station IDs, ads, PSAs, and some show promos and continue on. So here we go, everyone. I hope you guys enjoy, and I'll see you all in a couple minutes.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Halkomelem-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiyam,
Nisiyaya, Anthas Yakhlia, Talitin, Homasque Mustail. In the beginning, there was Thumb.
Something strange and funky condensing out of the primordial ooze. Then, underground house parties and backyard raves. Stuff of legends still whispered about and blossomed. And now, the space barn blasts off, and Thumpasaurus is ready to engage a new frontier in the Thumpiverse. Don't miss Thumpasaurus live at the Biltmore Cabaret, January 18th, presented by MRG Live. Head to admitone.com to get your tickets now. Yeah, take my picture. I got my life. MRG Live is pleased to present the legendary DJ Shadow live at the Vogue Theater on January 23rd. Don't miss your chance to catch this pioneering producer performing music from his latest release, Action Adventure, alongside his rich 3-decade-long catalog, which includes collaborations with artists such as Run the Jewels, Nas, and De La Soul, among others. For tickets, head to admitone.com and search for DJ Shadow. MRG Live is pleased to present the legendary DJ Shadow live at the Vogue Theater on January 23rd. Don't miss your chance to catch this pioneering producer performing music from his latest release, Action Adventure, alongside his rich 3-decade-long catalog, which includes collaborations with artists such as Run the Jewels, Nas, and De La Soul, among others. For tickets, head to admitone.com and search for DJ Shadow.
Hey Vancouver, for fans of Ocean Alley, Flip Turn, and Still Woozy, alt rockers Juice are bringing their signature blend of rock, pop, R&B, and hip-hop to the Biltmore Cabaret on February 3rd, with support from Hembry. Tickets are on sale now. Get yours at admitone.com.
Curious about the phenomena of sound, finding the space, combining spaces, dividing space into spaces.
On January 17th, CITR 101.9 FM presents our annual 24 hours of radio art programming, featuring innovative approaches to music and sound.
One space that has left a very strong impression on me as far as the sound of it is in Japan in the Kansai Prefecture. A small
It's 24 hours of spoken word,
of
ambient, drone, and field recordings, and sound walks, collage, technical
and
support calls, voicemail fails, sound
drilled.
Art, and noise.
They're raised above what would be the beach or the area that you would potentially stand, and the water rushes underneath the steps within that space and changes the air pressure underneath, pushes air up through these holes. And likewise, as the water recedes, it pulls air back down. So you have these.
Listen live on CITR 101.9 FM or online at CITR.ca.
The area where your feet are. And you can literally feel this air rushing up beside you and being pulled back down. And depending on the size of the wave or the however the tide is at the moment, the duration of this sound, of this air, is changing.
All right, everyone, welcome back. My name is Jeff, and this is another episode of Leanin' with Jeff. As I mentioned, I hope you all had a wonderful winter break. I definitely did. This year is going to be a very nice year for everyone. I hope so. I hope everyone kind of wrote down their goals, certain things that they want to achieve by the end of the year. And I think having that, you know, set out goal or a sense of anticipation towards the beginning of the year really gets you going. It gives you a drive. It motivates you to really make the most of the year. Happy New Year, everyone. For those of you who have not heard me say that, Happy New Year. And why don't we get straight into today's episode? So, as I mentioned, today I will be talking about my winter break. It definitely was one of the busiest winter breaks that I've ever experienced, especially in a school year. this semester or last semester was, as I mentioned, very, very tough for me, very busy as well. So this winter break really gave me a chance to relax on all those busy days, all those assignments, all those exams, and I'm sure a lot of students needed that as well. To start off, this winter break was probably the most busiest because the most amount of family members gathered for me. My grandparents came, and my uncle came, and my younger brother came from Toronto. So why don't we start off with my grandparents? So they came a couple weeks ago. I think it was on November. It was on the last week of November. And so they came, they arrived. Once they arrived, they came straight to UBC. I had a couple classes going on that day, and I believe I also had a show going on. So I gave them a tour in the station, the bookstore, and all around UBC. And that was kind of the end of that day. And then after that, we went on to, you know, the next day, I still had school. I had no idea because I've never really had a busy end of the term. I think this or last semester was one of the semesters where I was really packed with final exams. My first 2 years at UBC, I didn't really have a lot of exams or final exams that I needed to worry about, which meant that most of everything that went on during the semester ended during the first week of December. That wasn't the case for me. So I was constantly busy till the middle of December. And by that time, I have finished all my exams, all my papers, and I could finally let go and enjoy the time with my family. The unlucky part, there's two parts to this story where it's unlucky and lucky. The unlucky part of the story is that all the family members that came to visit us, I was in a position of great stress from school. So although I was out hanging out with everyone, having a good time, eating good food, I still had, you know, that academic mind in the back of my head worrying about my assignments, my exams, you know, all those things. And on top of that, I had kind of broken up my schedule in a almost an unhealthy manner. My sleep schedule went a bit south, and I stopped going to the gym for a couple days because I was just swamped in work. My sleep schedule was a bit off. But I was able to get that all back on track before this term began. So I'm happy to do that. I think, as I mentioned many times in my shows, that routine is something that is very important. I truly believe that. I personally benefited from having a structured routine. It doesn't always need to be the same, but it needs to have some sort of pattern or some sort of routine where you can follow it and not go south, not go out of track. Because once you go out of track, that kind of breaks everything that's going on in your life, especially if you have a lot of things. It's great to have a guideline of how you're going to approach every single task. So my grandparents came, and I think the next week that they came, so after about a week they were here, my uncle came. So he lives in Korea. He went to LA to do some business, and then he visited Canada for about 3 days. And you know what? To be honest, that was the most fast couple days that I've ever experienced. I really did wish that he stayed a bit longer as well, because we really did have a good time. But you know what? I'm still glad that he came. I haven't seen him in a very, very long time. I think the last time was when I was in middle school. So I'm sure that he was very surprised of how much I've grown individually, physically, and all that. And so that was a great thing. So for me, because he's my uncle, we're a bit more goofy, you know? We have that silly side that we both share with me, him, and all my brothers. So obviously the things that we do together are going to be a little different with my grandparents. And so the biggest thing that was a bit different with the hangouts that we shared was we went out to drink. Now, I am not a very good drinker. In fact, I prefer not to drink because of the side effects that comes with drinking alcohol. But I very rarely drink, so whenever I do, I forget how terrible these side effects are for me. And the story goes, we went out to the restaurant I work in, which is a Korean barbecue restaurant. We went there all as a family. We had a great meal. We had a lot of food. And it was around 8 or so when we left the restaurant and said, hey, why don't we go to Cactus Club, which is basically a restaurant as well. But it's a bit more of like a bar vibe. And so why don't we go there, have a couple drinks, talk a little bit, and, you know, go home. So we left the restaurant that we ate dinner at, which is the Korean barbecue place. We dropped off my grandparents and my parents, and me, my brother, and my uncle went to Cactus Club to drink a little bit. And so we went there, we had a couple drinks, and I was not feeling too well. And that night, long story short, has ended after a couple drinks. So that was both a fun experience, but also an experience that have also led me not to do that again. Okay, so the next portion of the show, I also want to explain the movies that I was able to catch up on during the break. As I mentioned, my show, the original concept was to review rom-coms, because I'm a very big rom-com fan. I took a break in watching some rom-coms. I shared the list that I had of all the rom-coms that I was able to catch, all the rom-coms that I've been able to watch, and just write them all into one long list. And, you know, I haven't been able to add into this list for a long time. As I mentioned, the semester was very, very busy for me. But thankfully, I was able to get down 4 or so rom-coms in the break, during the break. And so that was a great, great experience for me. So the 4 rom-coms that I was able to watch was Pretty Woman, Little Manhattan, Begin Again, Jerry Maguire, and right now I'm around a fourth into a rom-com called Charlie Bartlett. This movie, the last movie, Charlie Bartlett, is actually a movie that I recently found out yesterday, and I think it was from 2007. I think there's a little bit of romance into it, but there's also, you know, that teen troublemaker vibe and all that. And I think it's a coming-of-age genre as well. So those 4 movies, Pretty Woman, Little Manhattan, Begin Again, and Jerry Maguire, are the movies that I was able to catch up on during the winter break. They were great movies. You know, rom-coms, you can never really go wrong unless they are too cliche or just doesn't follow romance at all. And so why don't we begin with Pretty Woman? I was told that this was one of the classic movies for rom-coms. Julia Roberts, an amazing actress, always very surprised and never lets me down with her acting, and just, it was absolutely a blast to watch this whole movie. You know, I think the most I can say about this is just the progression of romance, the progression of love that happened between the two characters was very well paced. I didn't feel like it was rushed at all. I think it was very, very calmly done. There doesn't seem to be a lot of confusion that went on as well. And the character development was very well, very clearly shown through both characters. More so to Julia Roberts' love interest, because he's a workaholic. He doesn't really know how to balance love life and his work life. It seems like most of his interests is towards his work, and he gets too deeply consumed by it, which later affects basically everything around him. But Julia Roberts kind of begins to come into his life, balances it out, and almost gives him another sense of purpose to life, you know, giving him the message of life is not all about work. And so through that dynamic, through that character interaction, you can slowly see that Julia Roberts is also growing with the love interest, and the story proceeds as so. And so I would recommend this movie to a lot of people. It was a great movie. You know, it does take place in a very older time. I think it was maybe in the 90s, maybe in the 80s. And so you can clearly see that in the setting and the world building that goes on. You know, the cars and the people, you know, even their fashion as well. You can see the difference. And so, yeah, please go ahead, everyone in my audience members that loves rom-coms. I mean, as I mentioned, you know, this is a rom-com that is considered a classic, I believe. So there are probably going to be many people that have watched it. But if you haven't, go ahead, see it out. It's not that bad. The next rom-com that I would like to mention is called Little Manhattan. I really do love rom-coms that involve, you know, like kids, middle schoolers, because it really does bring out a different sense of romance and love. It's just not, you can almost say that the love that is portrayed in those movies with those children is just completely, it's just a different concept, a different approach, a totally different perspective that is usually taken in rom-coms that are based on adult romance. And so to see that contrast, to see that difference between the two genres, the two ages in the same topic is just very fascinating to me. So from time to time, I do try to find some movies that are related to, you know, even high school romance, because it really is very, very different. And it brings out a different material, a different concept of what love is and how it's perceived in these characters. And so this movie almost reminded me of Bridge to Terabithia, which is another, I guess you can say, a romance movie, but also very, very dark. And so this is almost a happier version of Bridge to Terabithia, although the romance in this movie is not that satisfying, because they don't really end up together. Because, you know, they're kids, they don't really know what love is. It's just more so about they just love to hang out with each other. They love each other's company. They go to the same karate class. All those common interests kind of bring them together to form a friendship. And, you know, who knows, maybe in the later years, they can turn that friendship into a romance. And so it's a great movie, you know. The main character, Josh Hutcherson, I think that's his name. He's a phenomenal actor as well. He is basically narrating the whole movie. So he's narrating, he's saying explicitly during the narration his internal thoughts. So there will be some scenes where he's thinking about talking to you know, his friend slash his love interest, and in his head, he just has a bunch of internal thoughts that he's just saying in his head. He's contemplating them. He's almost going into this swirl of just brainstorming all these possible answers, all these possible questions that he is trying to ask or trying to say to his friend. And so it really does bring out the originality of this movie, because we all do this, you know, whenever we're meeting someone new or meeting someone that we like, or even a job interview, we're constantly thinking about ways to articulate our words, articulate our answers, our questions. And at the end of the day, we only come up with one, or the thing that comes out of our mouth is one. And so it's very relatable, you know, especially if you're nervous, you just tend to overthink. And this overthinking process is exactly what makes this movie so original and so relatable as well, because that's something we all do. You know, we overthink sometimes. And this movie did a great job in relating to the audience members. Again, a movie that I would love to recommend to a lot of people that love romance and are striving to look into a different part of love, what love or romance is portrayed in a different perspective. And in this case, it's in a child's perspective on what love is, why he likes her, you know, what he was so mesmerized when he first saw her, the ways he creates to spend more time with her. You know, all these ways and methods that he thinks about. You know, the first time he went on a date with her, how it went. He goes home, he's lying on his bed, and he's just looking at the ceiling. And, you know, in comes, walks his dad, and he's just kind of embarrassed. All these things is just explicitly shown. His reactions, his thought process, his actions, all of these stuff. So please go ahead and watch it. You know, it really does bring out a different part, a different area of love and romance that's being portrayed in a different character, in a different age group. All right, so the next movie that I would like to briefly describe is called Begin Again. It's with Mark Ruffalo, I think. And I don't quite remember the other actress's name, but it kind of relates to romance and comedy, obviously. And oh yes, the other actress's name is Keira Knightley. And so Mark Ruffalo and Keira Knightley are basically not really forming a romance between these two characters, more so kind of a journey to finding love and sharing their own experiences with their own personal relationships. And so not necessarily is this romance movie about, you know, kind of having these two characters end up with each other, but learning as they form their music project, kind of who they are, how they're dealing with love, how that ultimately affects one's life, and what can or how can it really benefit someone from experiencing love or romance. And so in this movie, I think the best you can kind of get from it is what kinds of effects that it can have, what kind of effects love or romance can have in a person, in their daily life, in their mental health, and how positively it can also affect them as well when they find it. And so I think the beauty of this is that everyone has their own distinct way of experiencing love and romance in their lives. And in this case, it's just showing another way that it can be dealt with. And, you know, sometimes you just have to have your mind off of it. And in this case, it's music. And so I believe that Mark Ruffalo is a character who's in charge of music, like some sort of music. His job is to almost help artists. He has clients and he's trying to help him, you know, publish their music and records and all that. But he doesn't really have the money because he didn't really do too well. He's kind of an alcoholic. He just drinks all the time. And then he finds Keira Knightley in a bar singing. And that's when it's all sparked to him. He's like, okay, let me just try this again. She's a beautiful singer. Let's try and make this work. And so it's a whole process of him getting back and Keira Knightley, who comes into the scene totally heartbroken. And that's her way of beginning and standing up and living life to the fullest once again. Fun fact, Adam Levine is also in this movie. I looked at his character and I said, oh my goodness, is that Adam Levine? And apparently it is. I just realized. And so if you are all Adam Levine fans, he doesn't come out as the best guy, but he does come out. So it's almost like a special appearance. And so go ahead and check this movie out. It's pretty good. You know, it's not that bad. Why did I say not that bad? It is a good movie. But I don't really like... Well, personally, I don't really know, nor do I listen to a lot of music. I'm sure that my audience members know that once I get hooked on a song, that's basically all I hear throughout a couple months. And then once I find another song, which is usually one or two, then I'll just switch to that. So as a person that doesn't really have a lot of musical knowledge, it's a movie that didn't quite interest me in terms of, you know, them working towards something and having that as a stepping stone to coming back to a healthier lifestyle. It wasn't too appealing, but it was still enough for me to get entertained, to learn the messages that the movie was trying to give out. And, you know, whenever I can finish a movie, that's a very good sign that it's worth your time. All right, the last movie that I would like to put out is called Jerry Maguire, absolute classic. Whoever is into Tom Cruise fans out there, you probably have watched it. It's also a rom-com. Phenomenal, phenomenal movie. I just finished it yesterday. The ending was actually very satisfying. I was, you know, see, this is why I do not like to either watch trailers or know background information in or about movies, is because that is basically all I think about. When I watch trailers and I watch the movie, then I can remember certain scenes that I've watched in the trailer, in the movie. And so it's almost a spoiler, and I do not like spoilers at all, which is actually ironic because this whole show is about spoilers because I'm explaining the movie to you guys. But I've already given you the warning, so please don't be mad. But Jerry Maguire, there's a very famous quote that I'm sure everyone knows. It's called, "You had me at hello." And I just could not get that thought out of my head during the whole movie. I was just anticipating on when that quote was going to pop up. And I think the movie's around 2 hours long. So, you know, during that 2 hours, I was just, you know, thinking about when that quote's going to come up, who's going to say it, what context is it in? Is it going to be during the climax, the inciting incident, or the resolution? When is that going to come up? And it turns out, spoiler alert, it comes out at the very, very end. And I had no idea that that phrase, that famous quote, was actually spoken by the love interest, not Tom Cruise. I thought it was going to be Tom Cruise because it seemed like he was going to be the romanticist, the romantic in the movie. But it turns out he's not at all. He's actually the one who has intimacy issues. He's the one who cannot really form a genuine connection with someone for a long period of time, to the point where, you know, he can actually settle for someone. But, you know, apparently that quote, "You had me at hello," is spoken by the love interest. And once she said that, I was just totally happy. You know, it was a very cool experience. And although that I knew it was going to come out, I was still very excited and I felt very nice, you know, when I heard that quote. I guess it's just the satisfaction of knowing something's going to come up. And when it actually does, it's almost like, yeah, you know, you get the feeling of you were correct. But yeah, I mean, it's a very great movie. Tom Cruise, as I mentioned, he does not really know. Similarly, in Pretty Woman, the love interest there, Tom Cruise does not really know how to almost develop intimate relationships. He's kind of also worked up in work. He's just busy all the time, and so he doesn't really get the chance to almost see the value of having someone love you unconditionally and just coming home where, you know, just someone's just going to wait for you with either a warm cooked meal or just a smile that, you know, just really lightens up your day no matter how hard and difficult it was. And so throughout the journey of Tom Cruise and his love interest, as they kind of move along throughout the movie, it, you know, just, you can kind of see that Tom Cruise slowly, slowly recognizes the presence of her and what kind of effects it has on him. And the great thing about this movie is that one of his clients, which ultimately is his best friend, has a very, very healthy relationship with his wife. And by seeing that on the outside, he can kind of see, you know, in the beginning, you can see that he was kind of uncomfortable almost to see how well or how healthy that his best friend was, the relationship that his best friend had with his wife. But he later realizes that that is something that you cannot buy with money. That satisfaction, that happiness that you ultimately experience with that person is something that you cannot put a price to. And once he realizes that, just like any other rom-com, he rushes, gets on a plane, he rushes to her, and he says, "I love you." And that is basically how the movie ends. Very, very happy ending. And I hope you guys all get a chance to watch the movie, you know, and feel the development that Tom Cruise and his character goes through in the movie. And you can really appreciate how he changes and what kind of effects it has, not only in his career, but just his life, his happiness, his purpose, and his values. So those are the movies that I was able to watch during winter break. All of them were great and wonderful. I hope you all have the chance to check it out. It really is worth your time. For those of you who love to watch movies, go ahead. There's a couple suggestions right there. And I guess we can move on to the next segment of today's show. So as I mentioned, there are two songs that I have been listening to for the past month. And the first one is Dancing in the Moonlight by Top Loader. Very, very great song. I heard that some people would want to use this for their wedding day, which is very wholesome. I think that would be a great song for a wedding day. And for those of you who do not know what this song is, here we go. And if you want to use this on your wedding day, feel free. That was Dancing in the Moonlight by Top Loader. The next song that I would like to turn on is by Charlie Puth. I am a big Charlie Puth fan. I think his songs are great. And this song is called I Don't Think That I Like Her by Charlie Puth. So here we go. I hope you guys enjoy. I will see you in 3 minutes and 8 seconds.
Get her name and get her number. Find out all of the things that we have in common. Remember all the differences. Oh yeah. Meet her parents, meet her brother. Then she starts sleeping over the crib on weekends. Like a real relationship. No. For me the stars are aligning, but for her it's bad timing. So she just can't be. So pretty and nice. So I make just one exception, but I find that eventually I'm not her type. Maybe that's the reason why. That for me the stars are aligning, but for her it's bad timing. So she just can't be mine. I don't think that I like her anymore, yeah. Cause we're all the same.
Alright everyone, we are back. That was I Don't Think That I Like Her by Charlie Puth. I hope you guys enjoyed that. And towards our next segment of today's show, as I mentioned, I want to bring back fun facts. And so I will be sharing a couple fun facts specifically today about horses, because why not? All right, the first fun fact about horses is horses cannot breathe through their mouth. They are nasal breathers. This means that they can only breathe through their nasal and not their mouth. Okay, the next one is horses have excellent hearing. As a prey animal, horses need to have sensitive hearing to survive, which means horses have 10 muscles, humans only have 3 muscles to control their ears, but horses have 10. That must be nice. I think there's a lot of animals that have great hearing because it ultimately benefits them for survival. The next one is horses have lightning fast reflexes. Horses can go from standing still to delivering a powerful kick in just 0.3 seconds. And a human's reaction, 1.6. And so, please, do not mess around with horses, because as this fun fact is telling you, they can kick you under 0.5 seconds. So be careful. There are many colors and patterns of horses. Horses can be spotted half patches of color or be one main color. You really don't know what they will be, but just remember that horses have a variety of colors in them. All right, the last one is, horses are actually very social animals. Horses find safety in a herd and form strong social relationships with each other. So yeah, I mean, I guess horses, I mean, you always kind of see horses either with a couple more horses, or sometimes they're kind of alone, but apparently they are very social creatures. All right, everyone, that is it for my show today. We are ending off a bit early. The content for today is going to be a little easygoing. As I mentioned, it is the first week of the semester. Please, everyone, I hope you guys are going to be able to balance out whatever you guys are doing in your lives, whether it's academic, work, or just family. And I think it's very crucial for that balance to take place. And for those of you who are students who just began, I can guarantee that the stress is going to be worse, but it will stop at some point. And for me, at least, that some point is going to be around the middle of the semester where everything kind of comes into place. You know, you kind of have all your textbooks, your readings are good, your assignments are coming in, and you're slowly thinking about the ideas that you want to write about or, you know, get your ideas gathering in your head. So I hope you all have a wonderful rest of the day. The weather is a little gloomy right now. The sun seems like it has been tucked in by the clouds. But I hope that we can get a little bit more sunshine before the day comes to an end. Unfortunately, I am going to be leaving campus a bit late tonight, but that is okay because sometimes being at campus is kind of nice at night. You know, you get to see the UBC lights coming out, you know, the nightlife of UBC coming alive at night. And so that is it again for me, today's episode. I hope to see you all next week. As I mentioned in my previous episodes, interviews will be coming in sooner or later. All right, everyone, have a wonderful day, and I will see you all next week. Bye-bye, everyone.